All right. This morning we are going to have baby dedication, and so you may never have been a part of this. This is not, we are a Baptist church, and so we will not be giving the babies a shower. All right, they will not be joining the membership this morning. Not at all. That is things that happen according to the scripture. Someone is saved, then baptized, and then added to the church. All right. Doesn't happen as a child. It would be a good idea to do that if you were only concerned about membership and not a saved membership of the body of Christ. And so we believe all those things according to the scripture. This morning, this is a picture. The dedication of our children is something that is pictured according to the scripture. Hannah in the Old Testament makes a vow to God and promises if God, as she prays, she promises, and she's barren. And if you know the picture of the story there in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, Hannah is making a vow to God. She's barren and cannot have a child, and promises that she will give her child back unto the Lord. And this morning we're dedicating our children to the Lord in this way. The parents are going to make vows to God. We're thankful that Samuel followed the vow of his mother and then honored his mom and his home by continuing to follow the Lord and do right. According to the scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and then chapter 2, I encourage you to read the story. I just want to remind you this morning that the Bible has so much to say in how to not only parent your children, but the things that you ought to do as parents. But this morning, I want to just take a couple verses and time to show you those things. So if you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 for the parents of the children and grandparents, if you want to stand with them, you're welcome to come. If you'll make your way to the front, and before I begin to read, I want you to come up front, stand with your child, and turn and face our audience. We're going to give you a mic after everybody gets in position, and we want you to tell them who you are and whose yours is, okay? And say your name and your child's name, and then we'll move on with our service, and we'll have you kind of face the preacher, not the auditorium here this morning. All right, go ahead. We'll start on this end down here with Brother Ricks.
We're Craig and Rebecca Ricks. This is Ethan. He's. Yep.
You can tell him how old he is.
He's.
I was afraid you weren't going to say his age. You were gonna say something else about him. But
so many months old. Yeah. Yes, he's almost a year, or almost 2 years, right?
We are Aaron and Susanna Sigmund. This is Jedediah. He's 4 months old.
We're Jim and Susan Morgan. We're the grandparents of Jedediah and of Hope.
We're Jeremiah and Cassara Morgan. This is Hope, and she is 6 months old.
This my name is Dylan Williams. This is my wife, Laura Williams. Her parents, Madeline and Alora's grandparents, Sandra and Ron Howen. Madeline is 16 months, and Alora is 3 months. Amen.
I'm Hannah Ball, and my parents are Debbie and Lauren Wiebe, and this is Eli Ball.
We have Brennan and Jessica Clark, and this is Ruby. She's 7 months.
Amen.
We're Jesse and Hannah Maxwell, and this is Aaron, and he's 14 months.
Amen. As a church, you see Brother Perkins giving, we wanted to give out to each one of the things that will help every one of these parents teach and raise their children in nurture and admonition of the Lord is to have the Word of God. And we wanted to give each one of these children their first Bible, amen, this morning as a church. And so we did that. And so now that we've introduced, if you guys could step back a little bit and face the pulpit, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. And I want you to see here, we have a promise or a vow that we want the fathers to make this evening or this morning. And we also have a promise that we'd love to see mom make as well. So in Ephesians chapter number 6, we realize the chapter 6 begins with children, obey your parents. Most of these children are too young to know that they are to obey their parents. They do know sometimes right and wrong, as my parents did for me. Before I could speak, they smacked my hand and told me no. A lot of times it was because there were glowing red things and I wanted to touch it. And it was that no, hot. Don't touch that. And so we do understand that there is teaching here. But in verse number 4, if you look at verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children children to wrath. And then it goes but. And the word but after is often changing sides of the street. So one says this is a thing the Father is not to do, but what he is to do. And the promise the Father will make this morning is, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oftentimes as fathers, we don't think about our side of this thing being a nurturing thing. We think that's a motherly thing. But spiritually, we are to lead the home and to nurture spiritual things in the home. We're supposed to, the word admonition is given to us. The word admonition is just the calling to remembrance. It's to remind them. In the Old Testament, we see throughout the Old Testament, the fathers are constantly provoked to tell their children, you see this city, Jericho, it used to have tall walls. It used to be a really glorious city, but our God brought the walls down flat to the ground. And for your life, you should remind your children where God has brought you from and where he has placed your family now. You should show him all the great and mighty truths of the things God has done in your church and through your lives and how mighty and holy our God is. So nurturing is a thing we don't often think about it. It's not just care of the flesh, but nurturing for the Father is care of spiritual things for your home. You are to nurture the things of God in your home, to nurture those things over and over again. And I realize this morning you say, preacher, you're just beating it over and over again. No, I really believe this. One of the things that has broken down our homes and our families is folks not bringing to remembrance when things are real to our children, when we can walk them through. Some of the greatest things in my children's lives and monuments of our vacations have been to go to spiritual monumental places. It was a great place of my life to take my children to the Sword of the Lord. It was a paper that meant a lot, and I would read things to my children from the paper, and I took them to where they printed it. And a lot of us, it's not Disney World. It's not, there's no slides or rides or coasters there, but it is a place where I could tell them this is a heritage of our family and our life. This is something that helped us grow spiritually. And so for your families, one of the things you men need to do is make sure there are spiritual landmarks in their lives that you set up and you point to and say, this is a monument in our family and our life. This is a turning point. Remind them where they've come from and what God's brought them through. I want you to see, this is the promise. You'll make a promise today, guys, fathers, if you would, this morning. The promise you make is to raise, to lead your family in nurture and admonition of the Lord. But then also, mothers, I want you to see the difference here for mom's role. Proverbs chapter number 6 in your Bibles, if you have them. I know the folks up front, and I just want you to hear it. I want to read chapter 6 verses 20 through 23. And I want you, I don't know if you guys remember far enough back to where your mom used to tell you things. I don't know about you, but I have a wonderful mother who loved me and would tell me, don't go in the street because cars will run you over out there. My mother would tell me so many wonderful truths that really kept me alive until this day. But you know, when I did wrong and I broke the law of God and my mother, I would hear that voice echoing in my head. And mom saying, don't you go in there. Don't you do that. Don't you touch that. Don't you look at that. And I would hear mom's voice. And I want you to think about that and your upbringing and your raising of the children and think about the mother's voice. Listen to verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. And reproof of instruction are the way of life. I just want you to see here, even nurture and admonition, the Bible kind of goes Old Testament and brings it into this way. It's our job to admonish our children about the commandments of the Lord, fathers. That these are God's rules and his laws, and these are unbreakable things. These are things that will keep us, and we need to teach that. Mom, your job is to reinforce the commandments of the Father in the home and to teach them the laws of God, to teach them the way that they should go. And the commitment that you'll make this morning is not only fathers to lead your home in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but mothers to teach your children the law of God, that they might be able to, according to the scripture, for the commandment is a lamp. Dad, you're going to give them light, that they might be able to see who God is and that they should accept him as their Savior. and follow him. And then mothers, and the law is light. I don't know, when we talk about a lamp, dad is the one, but mom is the oil. Without the two of the pieces that God put in the home, there's a vessel that dad is structurally holding everything together, and mom is the oil that goes in the lamp that powers that thing. She's the spirit that shines out the light that they can see where they ought to go, that thing. And then reproof of instruction are the way of life. Don't forget, too many times in our day, let me beg you as parents, as you make this dedication this morning, do not be afraid to reprove your children. We have way too many people that have never had, they've never been told no, they've never been spanked, they've never been anything until the policeman puts the handcuffs on them for the first time. They've never been restrained. Your job, the majority, commandments and the laws of God are restraints for us to keep us close to him, to keep us walking in his ways. So this morning, as I pray up here, a prayer of dedication, I want to hear from the fathers. Fathers, are you making a vow this morning? Are you promising God that you'll lead your home in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Mothers, are you going to promise God today that you'll teach your children the laws of God that they might follow them through their lives? Amen. This is what I want you to do. Each parent, as a congregation, as a church, you pray for these families now as I pray for them. You families, you pray to God and make this vow that you dedicate yourselves to raise your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I do thank you for each and every one of these families, each child that's represented, the grandparents that are here. Lord, I pray you bless each family. Lord, I pray that they would keep the vow that they make even now to you as they dedicate themselves to you, Lord, as they give themselves to lead the home and to follow the leader, and also, Lord, to teach the laws of God. I pray, God, this morning that you would do a work in each home, that you would raise up, Lord, these young people to be saved, first of all, join the local church, and then serve you for the rest of their lives and raise their own families if you give them time. God, I pray and I beg you this morning to do above all that we could ever ask or think with these families that dedicate themselves now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want everyone that's here, if you just take your time and step over here really quick. We want to get a picture, all right? I know that you guys, but this is one of those things you say, well, preacher, why are you going to take time this morning to get a picture of each one of them? Because I just told dad they're supposed to remind him of what happened. One of the greatest ways that they can do that is take that picture and say, this is the day your mom and I dedicated you to the Lord. Amen. For the rest of us, if you want to know where we're going to be at, we're going to have one more special before the message, and we're going to let them come and sing now while they're getting pictures. But if you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 127, that's where we'll be for the message this morning.
From God, a slave to sin, my guilt too much to bear. My heart has found no hope within, and peace gives way to care. Yet now I see your broken form upon dark Calvary. It was my fault that you were torn. You proved your love for me. I am yours and you are mine, oh precious thought to me. The priceless gift of love divine provides security. The life I owe such mercy could never be enough. But thank you, Lord, for making me the object of before my God above. Without regard for his great name, I've sinned against his love. Yet now my Savior's words I hear, within this holy place. My friend, there is no need to fear. You're at the throne of grace. Now I am yours and you are mine. Oh, precious thought to me, the priceless gift of love divine provides security. The life I owe such mercy could never be enough. But thank you, Lord, for making me the object of your love. And when I feel my heart would break for grief within my soul, help me to know there's no mistake, my God is in control. Yet now I feel eternal arms supporting me inside. You are a shade from every harm, you'll never leave my side. Now I am yours and you are mine. Oh, precious thought to me, the priceless gift of love divine provides security. The life I owe such mercy could never be enough. But thank you, Lord, for making me the object of your love. But thank you, Lord, for making me the object of your love.
All right, take your Bible and go to Psalms 127 this morning. I just want to preach just a little while here to you this morning about let the Lord lead. Let the Lord lead. We have, so many times on a Sunday morning like this, as we get prepared to go out and stand on the road and stand for life, oftentimes we rip about all the things that are wrong in the world. And I will just say this for just a moment in introduction, that from my age and downward, my mom had the opportunity, if she chose to take it, because Roe versus Wade was in place by the time I was born. And so from people of my age downward have not come into existence, whether their parents chose under the laws of our country to abort them or what I believe is murder them. Amen. It is a sad thing, and even though we've nearly for 50 years stood against this, we need to continue to stand. So we do hope, and I'll just say this, I hope you'll come out and stand with us against this murder and stand for life as we stand up, all right? And I couldn't help but get emotional this morning. It's hard for me anytime we talk about Hannah. Hannah in the Bible is someone who, and we won't go there this morning, but if you know the story, I encourage you to read it. It's such a powerful story, but many of you don't know this. I don't talk about this much, but my wife and I both, we had trouble having our first child. We were very young when we got married and waited what our parents had asked us to be wise and wait about 4 years, be husband and wife for a little while before we had children. And we honored our parents and waited 4 years. And then in that fourth year, we began to try to have our first child, and we could not. And like Hannah, before we went to the doctors, I knew the great physician was the one that could take care of all things. And we began to beseech the throne of God and ask others to do so for us. And my wife got pregnant, and we had our first child. And we realized after we changed doctors quickly that it was a problem with my wife, that many people do not get pregnant when the wife is in that way, and that it was a miracle of God. And I don't know if you've read the whole story, but Hannah doesn't just have Samuel. God blesses her and gives her 5 children, 3 sons and 2 girls. And for myself, I can't help but start to tear up, because God did the same for me. I only asked for the first one, but God was good. And the number 5 is a number of grace, and God gave me 3 boys and 2 girls. And so I'm blessed. This morning, I can't help it. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And as much as I can say this morning, life is precious. I could preach it, but boy, God's proved it out in my life. God's made it so precious to me. Here in Psalms 27, he says that the children are the heritage of the Lord. But I want to read the entire chapter, and I want you to just see some things, because we live in a day where the home has been destroyed by sin. As man gets farther and farther away from God and his book, we do not know how to live. We live vain lives outside of the Word of God and outside of God himself, and we wonder why things happen in our lives and why God judges and why God brings chastisement to his people to try to turn us back into his way and into his word. Here in Psalms 127, we see that Solomon is the writer here, the son of David, and he writes a song of degrees, and he says in verse number one, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." I love that verse, and look on what it says. And he goes on to continue to talk about children. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." This is an Old Testament passage, and no doubt when we talk about our children in a farming community, the labor is those of your own household many times. Raised on a farm, I realized what it was. My dad got hurt one summer on a piece of equipment to the place where he could not walk, and I was 15 years old, and they came and got me out of school and took me to the place because my dad wouldn't take any blood but his own, and they took blood. They had to sign papers so that I could give my dad blood. And my dad said, I don't know where that blood came from, but I know where yours did. And he took my blood. He needed blood. And then he went through the process of trying to heal and skin graft after skin graft on his foot, but he still was out of work for a long time, 3 months before he really ever got up on his foot at all. But it wasn't a question of who was going to do the work of our farm, who was going to take care of the chickens, and who was going to work all the things at our house and take care of the things that a man would take care of. That was me. My dad had raised me to work and taught me to do the things that he did. And so I didn't have to go out and say, "Dad, tell me what to do." I went and did what my dad had already showed me to do. He had raised me not only in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but had raised me to do the things that he had done. We live in a day and age where we think it is wicked to try to direct our children to be able to use these two things here and have calluses on them. We think it's wicked in our day, but God teaches us to teach our children the things. God commands us to be workers. God commands us to be worthwhile people in this life. But this chapter here, boy, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And you can make it and take a physical application to it, but houses come and go. Time wipes them away, but the eternal soul that is inside of the child that lives in your home, your home is a house. And God is speaking in his word specifically about you building your home and your house. When Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In the Old Testament, they're not talking about a physical structure that we call our house, but the actual home that is built by a husband and a wife, or at least should be built by a husband and a wife who are joined together in holy matrimony and have bound themselves together to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This scripture says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Let me just submit to you this morning, if you're trying to raise your children and do it your own way, you are going to fail. Amen. If you're going to try to build your house outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, you're going to fail. And you may not think that, I raised a pretty good home. My kids knew all that. They went to good colleges. Yeah, what's that going to do in eternity? Nobody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and tell God, "I went to Princeton, I went to Harvard, I went to this elite Ivy school." They're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and answer for the opportunities that they had to serve him, if they've allowed him to redeem their never-dying soul. Folks, you say, well, see, it's so too many times the things that we think are so important in this life will not matter in eternity. You say, preacher, you don't believe in going to college? I think we ought to learn some things. I think we ought to not only teach our kids how to work with their hands, but also to work with their head. I think every one of them ought to be able to do mathematics without a calculator or a computer. But the world doesn't seem like that's important anymore. I think that Common Core sells our kids short. I think that we ought to build the house around foundational values according to the Word of God, not what man thinks is important and not what our neighbor thinks is important so we can show off for them. That is just another form of pride. Too many times folks are leaning beside each other at their kids' ball game comparing their two children, and that's nothing but a sack of pride. God gave you a child to raise. You don't need to sit there and brag on them with them. How about going to the Lord? The one person that you ought to go to and be happy. My son won a soul to Christ. My son joined a bus route. My son can work with his hands. God, you're so good that you gave me a child that'll serve you and follow you and love you. If there's anybody that I'm going to go to and brag on, I'm going to brag on the Lord for what he's done in and through my family. Because if it's not God building the house, it's vain for those that are trying to build it. Folks, if you've come this far and your family seems that like it's on shaking sand, why don't you just decide to build the house on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and watch what God can do when you really bring in a professional builder in your home. Do you know you can go around and I can go around in my house, and you know, ladies, you can say amen here if you want, but guys, you know, there's a difference when your husband does it sometimes and when you bring in a professional. To be honest with you, there's a different expectation. How about when we just trust the Lord? You know, if I tried to build my home and make it spiritual, and when I hand it over to the Lord, I have a different expectation. Because I want the Lord to use me, because I realize I have no power in myself to do it. I realize, except the Lord build it, it's all in vain. Do you know what I realized about this as well? After God built it and brought me five children, I couldn't keep it. Even if I wanted to keep it up and protect it. If anybody ever had a doubt about whether you were strong enough and Superman enough to take care of it, how many of you walked outside your house during a hurricane and said, "Peace, be still"? How many of you walked out and just held on to the house and made sure it was okay? How many of you could guarantee the safety of your children inside the home? Many of us were bowing our heads and asking Almighty God to keep us safe, to take care. Some of us that weren't in the eye of the storm or in the midst of it, we were just praying that he'd keep the power on. Hey folks, I'm just going to tell you that we don't get thankful for things until we lose it. And way too many Christian homes start out on the right path, but it's not until it starts to fall apart because we're doing it our own way or we're trying to keep it up is when we realize, and we're not thankful until we see things start to slip or fall apart. We're not thankful for power until the power goes out. We're not thankful for water till we don't have any. We're not thankful for what God is doing in through himself in our children's lives until they're going the wrong direction. Until we're begging him, God, I didn't mind them going out and doing a little bit of wrong, but now this is crazy. God, now they're shaming me openly. That's when we want to call on the Lord, when we should have called on him all along, when we should have trusted him from the beginning to keep our homes and to watch over it. Way too many times we want to dabble out in the world in just a little bit of sin instead of letting God build the house and keep it. We want to go out and do our own way. Look at the scripture when he says this. He says, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." Do you know, he waketh but in vain. You know, a watchman was someone who stood on the wall to alarm. You know, he really didn't defend the city. All he did was cause alarm. You know, as a father in your home, you know, you ought to be a watchman. You ought to be watching your children and watching their lives, because you will come to a place where you can command and command and command, but they will make decisions for themselves. And the commandment should never change. One of the greatest things about being a father in the home is you should be as constant as your heavenly Father. When you make a promise, you should be able to deliver. When you tell them you're going to be there, you should be there. You say, well, I'm just human. Yeah, but you ought to do everything in your power to fulfill every promise you make to your children. Because when you don't, the picture of the father in the home messes up the picture of the father in heaven. We ought to come to a place in our lives where we realize, if I'm watching and walking and I'm not letting the Lord, I can scream out all I want to God, but God says you're reaping what you sowed. You can ring the alarm, but nobody's coming, because you have sown the seeds of sin and they're coming up in your children's lives. And we wonder why. God, why is this happening? Because you planted that. Do you realize, I'm an old school farmer. You know what? When you put corn in the ground, corn comes up. I've never planted corn and soybeans come up. I've never planted sunflower seeds and something, you know, cucumbers come up. What you plant is what comes up. And let me just say this. When I plant corn, a lot of times we plant a single kernel of corn. But I expect it to have full ears of corn when it comes out. Do you know, when you sow the seeds of sin, you should expect not just one seed to sprout and come up, but full ears to take full blossom and bloom. And the one seed you sowed and hidden in the soil blooms and is out there for everyone else to see. A full-grown plant out for on display of the world. You say, well, what happens? You know, I'm glad that it doesn't just work that way with sin. But when you plant the right seed, the same thing comes up. Do you know, when you let the Lord build the house and you trust in him and you plant the good seed, all of a sudden, not only can it be the sin that you reap, but you can reap the good. You have children that are a glory to God, that praise his name, that serve God with their lives. There's nothing like that. When you watch your kids do because they want to, not because you made them. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Do you know what happens to a family, a mom and a dad, who didn't sow the right seed or didn't do it the right way, didn't let God build the house and keep it? They're up late, and they still got to get up and go to work. They eat bread of sorrows. They sit across the table from each other thinking about what they should have done when they were raising their kids. You think about the span. I think about the span of my life, and from the time that I had my children until the time they will leave my home. And although it seems like a long time, it's very short. Amen. And double that is what God has given me to live after my children leave my home. And for me and my wife to look at each other and realize we're going to reap what we sowed through that time. To sit and look at each other and to be blessed because of what we did and how we let God build it and keep it. Or whether we'll look at each other and eat the bread of sorrows for the rest of our lives. I'm thankful that we live in a day, and I'm thankful if we have a word of God that says when we teach them, you say, well, I know many of you are thinking about a child that's gone wayward. But you know, when you can raise your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but it don't mean that they're going to go that way. They've got to make a decision for themselves. It doesn't mean that always it's going to be that way. The Bible says that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Some of you are still praying, eating bread of sorrows, but praying that they'll come home because of what you taught in the early stages of their life. Because you did right, and you gave them a God, and you told them who he was and where he was from and how big he was and just how they could trust him. You tried to build your home upon the Lord and let him build it. You tried to let him keep it, and all of a sudden you see them go astray. And you may be questioning whether God's word is really real. Why don't you just keep praying and trusting God? And watch what God can do with your home and how he can reel back in. If there ever was if the theme was bad for the storm, I believe that God can throw a hook in the mouths. If he can do that for kings and draw them where he wants, he can do that with my kids and draw them back to himself and bring them back home. You say, preacher, will God do that? You know, sometimes it takes chastisement. Sometimes we may have to watch our kids go through some tough things. But you know, it's sometimes through the chastisement of this life. You know, this, you say, well, this storm, was it a chastisement, preacher? I don't know. But I can tell you this, it made me thankful for things that I wasn't thankful for. It made me realize just how good God has been to me on a daily basis. When I realize all the simple things that God does for me on a daily basis, and when I have to stop and do them for myself, how good God really is for me. I see him go through here and he says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Do you know the reward? You know, grandparent, as a grandparent, I look and, man, I watch the heritage. This you may take this as this morning that this is my children, but when you go down and your children have children, you'll realize just how much of the fruit of the womb is a reward for not killing them when they were in your home. Amen? Amen? How much of a blessing it is to see that your children were taught to do right, and as they begin to raise theirs and they teach them to do right, what a reward that is. I'm going to be honest with you folks. I thought, you know, there's a lot of things that I think, you know, the dividends that you put in and you cash out, but there's nothing like holding that sweet grandbaby and realize, listen, that this is cashed out the great reward of God, that God has, I have invested and invested and invested, and this is my dividend. This is my reward for the service to the Lord, that Lord gave me this. Folks, I don't think we can talk about it enough to say, God even talks about, for my boys, I've said this over and over again. You say, well, preacher, you're the preacher of Landmark Baptist Church. Do you know, but if I've invested in my three boys and my three boys decide to serve God with everything they are, that they could do three times what I could ever do in my own personal life and ministry because of the reward. Listen, I look forward to looking down from heaven. What if my three boys had three more boys and they all served God? Think about the reward and the dividend, not just the other people that we can win on the street and people that we could see born again, but what if our kids, my child serves God with his life? What a reward that would be from God. And how about the next generation? And if God tarries his coming, the next generation. 50 years, Pastor Carter served in this place. He married some folks and then married their children. And listen, I don't know, if Jesus doesn't come, I may marry their grandchildren and then their children. Folks, if the Lord does, if he tarries his coming, we don't know, but the next generation stood here this morning with their parents. And if they're not trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's the foundation of the work of God. If it's going to keep going, it's got to be for those. Jesus, they got to be built on the right foundation or it'll crumble. Arrows are in the mighty man. I thought about this week about all the things that God has done and all the ministries and how God's people, you know, people built this. The building didn't just show up and poof, come to fruition here. And you know, if God lets us grow and we have to build and continue on, it's going to be our children and our children's children that will take up their hands if they're taught to, and put their hands to the work and build what will be in the next generation. And they have to be raised with the same mindset and the same foundation as you came up with if they're going to build. Looks like this. This is verse 5, and I'll finish here. He says, happy is the man that have his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. All the battles of the enemy, we have an enemy. The devil is still out, and he's still walking the streets, and he's still trying to destroy the church and the believer. But what a blessing it is when he rears his evil head, when our children. Do you know David? He had many children. But, you know, he came to an age where he was out on the battlefield one day and met one of the giant's sons. And he was so glad that one of the children of Israel was there, because David wasn't what he used to be. Although he wasn't weak and he was still in the battle, he still wasn't what he used to be when he met Goliath out on the battlefield. And somebody that, without a doubt, that he had taught to sword fight, that nephew stepped up. And he said, all right, I'll let you fight if you really want to. Hey, folks, isn't it a blessing when we come to a place when we realize there's somebody? Sometimes we don't want to step out, but isn't it a blessing to see when God has raised somebody up to step in and take the fight for us? I want the fight to go on until Jesus comes. I want him to come back and find us still pressing on in the faith. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this. Do you know that every child, according to the Old Testament, that broke forth from the womb had to be redeemed with a sacrifice? Every one of them. If God was going to build it, like he said, God was going to keep it, you know what? I decided I was just going to let my God redeem my family as well. Do you know, that Old Testament picture where you brought every child to the house of God and gave an offering for them was a picture, was a snapshot of saying, hey, you realize that God sent his son to die on Calvary and to redeem you back into himself? That what me and your mom did, that when we went down to the temple and we gave an offering for you, even for the Lord Jesus Christ, they fulfilled that commandment. They didn't have a lamb to give like everybody else that was rich, but they took some turtle doves. And listen, folks, the rich, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind, everybody can come to Jesus Christ the same way through the cross of Calvary. You don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to have a lot of fame. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't mean if you're a really good person or a really bad one. Everybody comes to Jesus the same way. They just simply come to him and confess that he is the Son of God, that he came and fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled in salvation, and he rose again from the dead. Do you know if you'll confess that today, that Jesus is the Son of God, if you'll believe in him and his finished work of Calvary, that you can be saved, he'll redeem you as well. That Old Testament redeeming of the child, I thought to myself, boy, what a wonderful picture. Not only for the sins of the world, but even as my family, if God is going to build my house, God will keep my house and God will redeem my house through the Lord Jesus Christ if I'll let him. If I'll just give myself wholly to him and point my family to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will take care of everything that goes on in the home. You say, you mean I don't have to work? No, folks. When I work, for me, even in this hurricane, somebody asked me this. Preacher, why don't you take the men to your house and clean up your house? Because I've got sons, and they need to learn to work. My two boys have been complaining about how sore their legs and arms are. We had a lot of branches come down in my backyard. But I could have took the men, and I know that they would have been happy to come to my house and work. But God had given me sons to train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I worked the mess out of them. And I did that because I wanted them to see that this is what we do. We work till Jesus comes for our home, for our family. Hey, folks, as believers, we need desperately to teach our kids to let God build our homes, to let God keep our homes and let God redeem it. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, why don't you let him start the process in your home by redeeming you in salvation, and then trust him to build the home and to keep it. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? As Brother Burke comes, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you're a visitor, or you've come with someone today as a visitor, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I don't know that. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one anywhere that slipped your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. Well, I want you to know that. I desperately want you to know that. Is anybody like that this morning that slipped their hand up? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I see that hand. I'm going to pray for you this morning, but what I'd like for you to do, while heads are bowed and no one's looking but me and the Lord, would you step out and come forward and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved? We won't come to you, but if you want to step out and come, we'd love for you to do that. I said I'd pray, so I'm going to pray now. As soon as I finish praying, Brother Burt will sing, and you can step out and come. Whether it's a father and a mother in the home that wants to pray about God building their home, whether you need to join this local church or whether you need to be saved, you do what God asks you to do. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning the best way I know how, and I beg, Lord, I know there are people that They want to step out. They want to be saved this morning, Lord. I saw a hand that was raised, Lord, and maybe there's another or two that just was afraid to raise their hand. But Lord, don't let them leave this morning without being saved. Let them come and trust in you and put all their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Let them not eat the bread of sorrows for the rest of their life and be sorry that they didn't receive Jesus Christ. Let them this morning come and receive you as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those that will join, for those that maybe need to pray for their family. Lord, do and work this morning. Holy Spirit of God, you do a work I can't do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Byrne.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Folks have come and are praying. Would you pray in your seat that people would be saved that need to be saved this morning? Well, I tell you, I know that one of the scariest times of my life was when I wasn't sure where I would spend eternity. But I'm thankful for the time somebody took a Bible and showed me how I could know for sure I was on my way to heaven. Folks have come this morning. If you would pray as Brother Burt sings, if you need to still come, the altar's open. If you need to join the church through baptism or by statement, whatever it is God's speaking to your heart about this morning, you come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. I hope you did whatever God asked you to do. If you're not saved, you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, boy, I'd love to meet you at the back door. If you'd come out and shake my hand and just let me know you want me to take the Bible, I'll be happy to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We have something to share with you as a church. Francisco is coming this morning, and he wants to join the church through believer's baptism. He's going to get baptized next Sunday. He's not prepared, but he wanted us to go ahead and vote. So everybody, Francisco's right here. I won't make him stand. And you, Casey, he wants to stand. Go ahead. Stand up and face everybody like I have to. Amen. All right. I appreciate everybody being here this morning. And with all the, I don't know how tough it was for you, but I'm thankful that Francisco has come. Want to join everybody that would like to welcome in the fellowship, right hand of fellowship. So we voted to next week. Once you get baptized, you're in. Amen, my brother. So we appreciate for him. We want you to come by and shake his hand today, and he'll stay up here. And next week, we'll go ahead and get him up into the baptismal tank and put him completely under. But we will bring you up. Okay? Amen. Amen. We're so blessed. Like I said, tonight, this afternoon, we'll have service tonight, but at 2 o'clock this afternoon, while the message is replaying, you were here. You don't have to hear it. You can come out, all right, out on 27 and stand with us for life. Amen. We'd like for you to do that. I just want to remind you one more time. Thank you so much for being here. I know many people have gone through. Some of you had no power stayed on. Some of you have really been working this week and still making a choice. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and being in his house today. Brother Congdon, would you close us in prayer, my brother?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you just thankful for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, for Francisco coming and wanted to join membership here through baptism. And Lord, just thank you again for what our hearts felt this morning, seeing the young people come forward and hearing the message that we've heard this morning. Father, help us in our responsibilities, Father, first is to you and then to our families. And Lord, help us as we stand for life this afternoon, Lord, as we stand, Lord, against the wiles and the wickedness of this old world. And Lord, just give us safety there, and may you honor what we do. Thank you again for this place here that we can come again tonight and fellowship with you and hear what you have from the word. Be with our afternoon now. Give us safety now. Direct our travels back here tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.